Thank you, Brother David, and good morning, everyone. It is a joy to be with you on this Lord's Day, and that's why we are gathered here today. Of course, the calendar says it is Mother's Day, and that has affected our attendance one way or another. We have guests with us this morning, so you've come to be with family, and we know that there are others that are away because they have traveled as well. But we are delighted that we can be together with you and study God's Word and continue our worship. Now, I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know what, but there were 600 college students that were asked to write in a survey the most beautiful word in the English language. And as you can probably guess, I'm going to say the answer was mother, according to 70% of those college students. Mother is a loaded word, which certainly brings a lot of emotion in most of us. In the book, The Mother Factor, the author reveals there were 5 mothering styles. And he talks about their effect on their children and their relationships with their children and others. They identify the perfectionist, the unpredictable, the me first, the best friend, and finally they identify the complete style of mothering. And each one of those has its own issues, I say, and the one certainly that sounds like what we would all hope is the last one. But none of us are perfect, and we do look to God who is, and to His Word. What we want to accomplish in this lesson this morning is to first of all give God the glory in everything that we do and to preach His Word. But we also want to show the significance of the motherhood role, both literally and figuratively. And unless there's anyone in this room that might be thinking, well, this does not apply to me, the lesson this morning will show the contribution that each one of us in this room has to do with the mothering role. And the way that we will do that is ask the question, whose mother are you? Guys, don't tune me out. Stay with me because there's something in this lesson that will affect you and affect me. I'd like to deliver this in 3 points this morning. First of all, you may be a mother to children, biological or adopted. And I know, all right, right there, we know then that eliminates a certain portion of us in the audience, the guys, but we can still pay attention and we can be very supportive. Now, biologically, this all goes back to Eve, whom Adam called the mother of all living, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20. But you see, in Scripture, the prophet Isaiah records the words of Jehovah. What we know is Isaiah 66 and verse 13. God says, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. So let's focus on what you would expect the traditional idea of a female as mother, being both either biological mother or adoptive mother, taking on that motherhood role in which she is caregiver for the children. Now, there are probably 2 extremes in this world. There would be the Rachel attitude, Genesis as in Jacob's, Genesis 30 and verse 1, who wanted children so badly that she said to her husband, give me children or I die. That's one attitude, loving children. The opposite of that in this world is the idea of the radical feminist that simply says that motherhood is a burden and it is too much to bear upon a woman if she does not want that. Well, let's go with what the Word of God says. But before we do that, we want to show a little bit of empathy, I guess. Well, no, not empathy, because empathy means you're right there doing the same thing. Let's say sympathy, and that means that we feel for you kind of thing. So moms, we feel for you, because the mom ministry, and that's the way we think of it, the mom ministry is one of the toughest assignments that God ever gave anyone. A mom is not only psychologist, she's not only nurse, she's negotiator if there's more than one child in the home, she's a teacher, and she is a drill instructor. And there's probably several other things, pharmacist, chauffeur, a whole lot of jobs that if she were paid as someone out professionally, we could not afford her price, she would be far above rubies. But if a woman becomes a mother, where she is a caregiver for a child or children, then at least for a few years, her primary ministry, is going to be inside her home. And she'll be doing all those things that she has to do for those little ones, preparing meals. There'll be other things, appointments. There might be a little bit later, those little league games, Band-Aids, all that stuff that's involved in all that and are valuable acts of service. Now, when I hurt my thumb at work, it hurt me enough that, you know, it didn't look right. And Grace wasn't there. If she was, I went straight to her. But there was a coworker there, and I said, I think I need a Band-Aid. And the first look that this coworker, she looked at it, went, ugh, and I thought, well, wait a minute now. If you're going to faint, now I'll just do something else. And she said, no, 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 let's see it. And so I stuck out my thumb and worked through it and put a Band-Aid on it. And by the way, it was serious, just for the record, it was serious enough it needed 6 stitches, all right, just so you know. So it was kind of, ugh. But during the process, when she put on the Band-Aid, I said, you must be a mother. And she said, oh, yeah, I've raised several kids. So even though there was the moment, moms, you still get in there and you still do what you got to do. And the rest of us are so thankful for that Band-Aid ministry that you've been faithful in all these years. Now, here are the words from Peg Campolo. This is what she described her work as a mother. You might need a dictionary, but this is what she said. I am socializing two homo sapiens in the dominant values of the Judean Christian tradition in order that they may be instruments for the transformation of the social order in the theologically prescribed utopia inherent in the eschaton. And I think what she was saying is, I'm raising children to believe the Bible so that they can teach others how to go to heaven. And that's a precious thing that mothers do. Mothers recognize that their work is very important. When Courtney Love's daughter was refused a place at a Los Angeles school, she made a comment to the media that if it would have helped her daughter, she would have changed her careers. This is the way she said it. She said, my kid is my first priority. That's pretty good, I suppose, from coming out of Hollywood. My kid is my first priority. Of course, if she had homeschooled, she would have known that first priority is redundant, but that's another matter anyway. A mother was in the audience when a missionary made a report on the mission field. And he was reporting on the work to Africa, to a congregation, and a young mother went up to him later, and she was just chatting, and she said, do you think that God wants me to be a missionary? And he said, yes, and there's the little heathen he wants you to preach to, right there. I thought that was precious. The mom ministry. You're doing God's work when you take care of those precious children. This is what Paul wrote about it, and it's so important. This is in Titus chapter 2. I'm afraid we have lost this. Beginning in verse 3, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women. And I think this is where we lose it, because we're so scared in today's society, because people just don't want to be corrected in this modern culture. That is, they don't want to accept admonition. And sadly, many folks don't want to hear it, even from those that are wiser. But Scripture says that the older women are to admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. And you say, well, why would older women do that? First of all, there's a lot of living and experience that the older women have. Now see, our culture is so bad that we kind of almost shrink. It's saying the words, older women. There's nothing wrong with age and maturity. How did we get to that point where we're embarrassed about thinking things like that? We need to embrace that. There are some other cultures that do. They respect age. They respect experience. And they expect the older generation to teach the younger generation. Who else is equipped to teach the younger generation except the older ones? And notice, there's nothing that the older sisters here, nothing gets by them. Because again, a younger generation may say, well, you know, that was then and you don't know what's happening now. Oh, no. God says that the older women are to teach the younger ones how to love their husbands. Now, there's a lot to that which we wouldn't go into publicly, because it can be a very personal, obviously, a matter to love your husbands. There's all types of ways that love is expressed. And if it's done according to the Word of God and not according to the ways of the world, it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. Who else would be better to teach than those who are godly, who've been down that road? There are times when it's not the easiest thing to do, to love your husbands. There's challenges there. And older women who've been faithful to their husbands and who've lived that life know by experience. Also, to love their children. See, again, the world has a lot of different ways about thinking about how you love your children. In today's world, it's been, well, only the most expensive and the best materially will show that I love my child. And that's just not true. There's so many things in life that God wants for us spiritually, and it's the spiritual matters that are the best for our children. The world is certainly not teaching that. And to be discreet, oh, they model it. They show how to use good judgment. They show how to be chaste, chaste, a virtue of character, how to be homemakers, how to be good, how to be obedient to their own husbands. All of this is so that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Older women know that as the scripture talks about being obedient to your husband, and also we know that it's certainly an art, as husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church. And in the home that God designed, no person is a doormat or a slave, as the world would think of it, just because she fulfills the roles that God gave them. It is an absolute joy to be a wife, according to God's way, when the husband is a husband, according to God's way. And if the ministry of motherhood gets done, It is to be done so that the word of God will not be blasphemed. Moms, your ministry is a challenge. You're constantly saying things and giving guidance, and the rest of us remember words from our mother. My mother, I remember, though she's been gone for about 45 years, I remember her admonition about don't run around barefoot too much, and for all the reasons that that could happen. That was my mother's admonition. Your mother may have said different things. Mothers, you may have said certain things, but here are some things that moms would never say. I've got a little list. Are you ready? Mom would never say, "It's okay, leave on all the lights. I like it that way." I don't think moms would say that. I doubt that moms would say, "Well, let me smell that shirt. Oh, yeah, it's good for another week. That's fine. Keep wearing it." I doubt that moms would say, "Yeah, honey, go ahead and keep that stray dog. I'll be glad to feed and walk that dog and clean up after that dog every day." Or here's another one I doubt that mom said. "Well, if Timothy's mother said it's okay, I guess it's good enough for me." Or finally, and mothers may say, probably not going to say, "Oh, you know, that curfew, that's just a general time to shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison around here or anything like that." Moms, we appreciate you, and we're grateful for the influence of our physical, biological, and adoptive mothers that took the time to care for us as little children. And continue on, even as we go older, as long as we have them around. But I'd like to talk about a second thing, and that is, you may have the influence of someone or upon someone in the sense that you may be like a second mother. And we get this from the Apostle Paul. He makes this point when he's writing in Romans 16 and verse 13. He's writing to Rufus, and he mentions the mother of Rufus. And when I say he's writing to Rufus, he's writing to the Romans, of course, but Rufus is mentioned, his name is there. We don't know the name of his mother, but we know that she was a significant person in the life of Paul. Because in chapter 16, when Paul is writing to the church to greet this one and to greet that one, he says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." The language of Paul here implies that the mother of Rufus was important to him as well. Now, Rufus, if you don't remember that name, he was the son of someone that's mentioned in the gospel. And that is in Mark chapter 15, in verse 21, when Jesus was about to be crucified, and they were leading him away to that. You remember that Christ stumbled under the weight of the cross that he was literally carrying. And the Bible says that they compelled a certain man, his name was Simon of Cyrene. That's where he was from. So he was compelled to bear the cross for Jesus. So here's Simon that we see even now 2,000 years later as the literal cross bearer for our Lord. We see the remark of Rufus, chosen in the Lord. And by the way, there's a connection there. Rufus was the son of Simon. And so Simon and Alexander, being the sons of this Simon, obviously were known to Mark when Mark writes this. And Rufus, his mother, was one that Paul later says, "Greet his mother and mine." She's been a mother to me, in other words, as well as being Rufus's mother. You know, brethren, there are many times in our life where we've been away from our own families. Our mother's not been present. Maybe our mother's not living. And someone has been kind to us when we were away. It could be when we were at college. Could be for those in the military. And the kindness that's been extended by someone who's not biologically or adoptive a mother, but has been kind enough to show that, has made the difference in the life of someone else. So, ladies, sisters in the Lord, sometimes you know it. You can kind of say it, yes, I'm like a second mother, but there may be others that you don't realize the wonderful influence that you've had. You have been like a second mother, and you didn't even know it because you've been so good and kind and sweet. That's a ministry that any of our sisters can do for others as well. There's an African, who was a World Bible student. His name was Samuel. I don't remember his last name, can't say it, but he's from Ghana. And Grace was his World Bible School teacher. And what was precious is in the lessons that he wrote back, he would refer to Grace as his sweet mother. We never met him, but here is a man that appreciated the influence of a godly woman, and called her mother. I thought that was pretty neat. Well, not only might you be like a second mother, but all of us, male and female, can say this next one. And that is, we might be as close to Jesus as his mother. If you look at the scripture that I call your attention to, is the one that was read earlier. Because first we want to ask, is it possible that could someone serve God outside of biological motherhood? And the answer, of course, is yes. Is it possible for a Christian woman to serve outside of motherhood? Yes. Is it possible for a Christian woman to serve outside of being a wife? Yes. Paul made that all very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 34, when he said, "She that is unmarried is concerned about the Lord's affairs, and her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit." So certainly, the place in the kingdom is so important for everyone, even though not a biological or adoptive mother. So this is what it says in Matthew chapter 12, in verse 46, "While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak to him. And then one said to him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, and he said, Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." The best news of all for us, as we think of the calendar on Mother's Day, and that is, even if our own mothers were not perfect, the love of God is. And as we're grateful for our mothers, we need to encourage them in our society that it's a great work to be done. That we need to support those who are not mothers, that they too, in fact, we all are close enough to Jesus that we can be his family as well when we do the will of God. So this morning we want to commend the Word of God to you. We want to be grateful for what we have and what God has provided, including the path back to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Obedience to the Savior is what will get us to heaven to be with God. If you're subject to the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope that this morning you'll respond to Him through the power of His blood, as together we stand and as we sing.